What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 438 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is...
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we're joined by a very special guest. He's been on the show before. We've been on his channel. He's been on our channel. He's been on our YouTube. He's been on this very podcast. Please say hello to Harrison from Really Old Movies. Harrison, say hello. Let everyone know where they could find you.
I'm Harrison Scullin, Really Old Movies. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Really Old Movies.
They go really... Oh, that's Really Old, R-E-E-L-Y, not with an
that's
A.
Right. That's right.
So that's Harrison. He's back, and he's going to be talking about this movie with us now. This is kind of a notorious movie. It's kind of crazy that 438 episodes to get to it. But, you know, we like to space them out. We can't just do all the, you know, crazy movies all at the beginning because then you guys wouldn't keep listening. So we have a movie here. This is a big time. It was like a big time release. 1995. Okay. Universal said, we're going to spend the most money ever spent on a movie in the history of movies. On a little movie called Waterworld. This was at the time, a notorious bomb. Lost money. However, the funny thing about it is, over time, it actually became profitable via DVD sales, VHS sales, all this stuff. It has actually made money through its lifespan, but it took a long time. And it was a big bomb. Now, I was a kid when this came out, so I don't really... Alex, do you remember when this came out at all, hearing anything about it?
I remember when it first came out because it was a big deal with Kevin Costner pissing and he filters it and drinks in the water. That was the big thing they talked about back then. But in terms of like, because it's weird because at that time, like the biggest thing around there was like Batman Forever because remember the McDonald's cups? That was the big thing. Like when those things, they were big, the marketing was crazy. Waterworld didn't have that type of stuff when we were, you know what I mean? Like in the 90s.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember like big marketing as a kid. Like Batman Forever, I remember.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
McDonald's tie-ins. And The Lost World, I think, came out the same year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not the only one. Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy to spend the most money ever on a movie and not do all the marketing tie-ins. Or they did, and I just don't remember.
Yeah. It could be that, but I don't remember like a big food chain doing a Waterworld something. Like, I would have remembered because we got like Godzilla. Yeah. maybe Burger King.
Get your Burger King water burger.
Maybe.
At Burger King.
Roy Rogers.
Oh, Roy Rogers. Yeah. There you go. We don't even have those down here, but I'm familiar with Roy Rogers. Mm. Get yourself a Waterworld fried chicken. Fried shark.
A fried shark. And a smoker's
fish
burger.
Fish sticks. Yeah. All right. So this movie was a big flop, like we said at the time. Very notorious. Yeah. Reviews were mixed at best, mixed to negative. Now, this was a couple of fun facts for you. Kevin Costner and Kevin Reynolds, he's the director. So we had the Kevin brothers working on this. Now, this was not their first time working together. This was their second time, as they had a couple years earlier done a movie called Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which was a very well-liked movie that made a lot of money, and it was a big hit. They teamed back up for this movie. Kevin Reynolds also went on to direct a movie that I love. Most people I know love it, and that would be the remake of The Count of Monte Cristo with Guy Pearce. And who's the other guy that I can't think of right now? Jim Caviezel. Yep. And a young Henry Cavill. He directed that film as well. The guy only makes movies once every 5 to 7 years or something. So whatever. But anyway, this was right in the middle of those two films. Now, before we start, what's your experience with this movie, Harrison? Had you seen it before? Was it something you're familiar with? Just a little bit of background before we review it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I had never seen this movie before, but I do remember the show for it at Universal in Hollywood and just always been fascinated and intrigued by it.
Yeah.
Just because of the notoriety it has as being a huge flop, being a really weird movie. So when I saw this was on the list, I was like, I need to see this movie. Like, it's been on the watch list for too long. It was, yep.
Oh, that's
very
interesting.
Excited. Oh, I like very excited. Those. Alex, what's your experience with Waterworld?
I hated this movie. Like, when I first saw it, I hated the movie. Like, I'm not going to lie. Even my wife, I took it out of the 4K thing. And I was telling Nate, took it out. And the minute she saw the movies that we had, she goes, Waterworld? You hate Waterworld. I was like, Nate picked it. So I got to rewatch it. So I was like, there's nothing I can do. And she was like, wait a minute. And she grabbed it and she looked in the back and it said an additional 40 minutes. And she was like, you guys are doing that one? I said, oh, hell no. I was like, Nate said, no. And I was like, thank God. Because normally we do director's cuts. We do different cuts of the films, but we have this thing. If it's longer than 30 minutes, we ain't cut. Because that's really three hours long. Yeah.
I think we'll what? Plus, I kind of wanted to do the version that failed. You know, like, what? Let's see why. Yeah. Why? What was wrong?
I agree. Yeah. But this movie, I did not like it. But like I said, it's crazy when you do this podcast because things change along the way. So, yeah, it's
okay. I'm interested. Now, my experience, I have never seen this movie in full. I've seen I've seen it in bits and pieces on TV. I saw the show when I went to Universal in Hollywood. It was great. I was like, this movie can't be bad because there's a freaking airplane just flew over the thing and landed in the water. And there's people going on little jet skis. And this show is great. So I have seen the show in full. This was my first time watching the movie beginning to end. Okay. I had seen it bits and pieces. When I was watching, I was like, okay, I remember this. But then the next part, I'd be like, I don't remember this. So it was kind of a first time full watch for me as well. So I'm very interested to talk about it. Very excited. Let's start off with our lead character. Now, guess what? He has no name. Oh, by the way, Alex, fun fact just for you. This was written by David Twohy. Did the Riddick movies just recently, and I didn't know that.
It makes sense.
He was
sense.
One of the writers on this movie. So it makes sense. It's like nonstop. We can't stop watching this guy's movies. I got to find another one to do for next week. But anyway, lead character played by Kevin Costner has no name. They just call him the Mariner in the credits.
Mariner.
We'll start with our guest, Harrison. What did you think of this character, the Mariner? What are your thoughts?
Yes. So I know you normally don't talk about acting when it comes to hero, but I think in this
sometimes
in this case, I think it does. I hated this character. I gave him a 2 out of 5, and that's mainly because of Kevin Costner. Because to me, Kevin Costner, he's more of like a straight lace actor, like in JFK, Untouchables, right? He's better as that kind of character. This is more of the anti-hero. You need someone more like a Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford type, and because you need that charisma, that charm with a kind of mean character like this. Kevin Costner does not have that at all. He's just straight up mean, unlikable. I absolutely hated him. And really, what were his motives, right? He was just completely selfish and isn't a hero till the end of the movie when he decides to save the girl. But for the rest of it, he's just out for himself, killing people. You know, he's not a hero. So that's why I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Fair. That's a good assessment. All right, Alex, what did you think?
You know what's crazy? Because at the time, if we would have did this like years back, I would have been like, I think it's stupid. You know, Harrison, it's interesting because when you see it for the first time, this is the first time you lay your eyes on it, right? First time. And I guarantee you, with a 2 or 3 rewatch, I think you will like the character. Because I think he was really decent in this movie. Like, I like the character. Why? Because I kind of based him off of Mad Max. He's very Mad Max. This is Mad Max on water. Like, they're kind of similar in terms of post-apocalyptic. This time, the ice cap, you know, melted. It flooded everything, right? Just like Waterworld. You know, atomic bomb blew up. Now it's just desert everywhere, right? And then you gotta survive. This time they gotta survive in the water. Kevin Costner, it's kind of like Mad Max. Like, he doesn't see much people. He's a loner, so he's not gonna be super nice to everyone. And then the crazy thing is, he's a mutant on top of that. So, like, you really don't know how the environment takes on the mutants at the same time. Do they treat him like shit, like the X-Men? You know what I mean? So I kind of liked his attitude on this because, again, he doesn't know. And I love every time they met a boat, he's like, wait a minute. Like, he always have, like, they trade, but he still has, like, whoa. Like, he has the guard up. So I kind of liked him in that sense. I do like him. He's very loyal to himself. But then once he had the people on the boat for a longer time, he started to grow fond of them as friends. Like, he said, oh, we have friends. And I think it took time, right? Because the little girl didn't know how to swim. And next thing you know, he's teaching her how to swim. Same thing with Helen. He wanted to bang her, but then he was like, oh, you didn't want me to have sex with you. But then later down the road, they do. So they didn't. I don't know, whatever. But I kind of liked the progression. I gave him a 3. I thought he was good. I, in terms of the character, I thought they needed a little bit more. And I hope to God that the 40 minutes is not what I was missing. That I need extra for the character. But for this theatrical cut, I kind of liked him. I thought he was good. So I gave him a 3 for good.
All right. You know what I was thinking when I was... Okay, when Alex was just talking, I was like, you know why Alex liked this character? Because he's kind of like Alex. If you become friends with him, he'll be friends with you. But at first, when he throws that little girl in the boat, I'm like, bro, Alex, throw a little girl in the boat. You throw my boat.
That's what I do to my daughter. I do that shit to my daughter in my room when she touches my stuff. I'm like, get out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So I was like, he sees a lot of himself in this character.
I totally agree with you. I just see myself.
All jokes aside, I agree with both of you. Harrison, you made some good points that I agree with. I do think a different actor could have done better here. Yes, we do factor in acting in our critique, but not necessarily the character, but it's good to talk about the acting. But I agree with you. Like, he just doesn't have the charm that you need to be like a douchebag who's likable. Right. He just comes off as a douchebag most of the time. So it's like, and his line delivery is like, you know, I've never been the biggest Kevin Costner fan.
No,
I like him in things, right? Like, he might be in something that I really like, and then the next movie, I won't like him. He's not consistent to me. So here, I think, Harrison Ford would have been a great choice, especially here in 95. He's a little older, but it doesn't matter, really. The age of the character doesn't matter at all. So yeah, I agree with that point. I did give him a 3, though, because I do like the progression.
Yeah.
I don't think he did the greatest acting job of showing it, but I do like that the character is like a loner. You know, he's whatever. He's like out to get his, he got dirt. He's trying to sell some dirt to get some weird money, whatever they use to buy some hydro and drink it. And I, you know, whatever. I don't even know what this stuff, well, we'll talk about more in storyline. But anyway, I liked that from there with the little girl. I like that because, you know, at first he's like, I can't stand you. He chopped off her hair and he threw her in the water. She can't swim. Yeah. Then he gives her the little chalk. He's like, it's a loan, but he starts warming up. Then he teaches her how to swim. And then at the end, when he's like, she's my friend. Like, I want her back because she's my friend. Now, I do like that. I do feel like it came kind of around full circle. So, but I don't love him. He is, like you said, he's very kind of selfish. He's an anti-hero that's kind of annoying for the most part. It's like, okay, what, like, relax. Mm. What is wrong with you? Like, he wanted people to help him get out that cage, but then he don't want to help people do other stuff. So, but I ended up giving him a 3 because I think by the end of it, I came around the other way. I was like, okay, I kind of like him. He's okay. But the performance, if we were rating that, it would be like a 2. Because Kevin Costner, I do not think he's good in this movie.
Do agree with you. Like, again, I was more with the character, but I do agree. Kevin Costner is not. And you know what's funny? Like, let's say they do a Waterworld now.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say they decide to do a reboot. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the person that could work as him would be Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt would be great. He would have been great back then.
Yeah, I think Brad Pitt would have been a good Mariner. It would fit.
You know who else would have been good? And you can't do it because of the type of movie, but Mel Gibson would have been really good.
Oh, Mel Gibson would have been really good in this one.
Would have been great.
But then it would have been Mad Max.
That's what I'm saying. The only reason you can't do it is because it's him, but he has the charm.
Yes,
he has the looks. Where you're automatically drawn in, but he can be kind of a douchebag that you still like. You know what I mean? So I think he would have, but Brad Pitt, he would have been good in 95. He was young, but, and he'd be great now, honestly.
Well, even now, Alan Richardson could be playing the guy who plays Reacher.
Alan Richardson. Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys who can like kind of play that edgy
Mariner.
All right, so a 2, a 3, a 3. All right, let's get to our main villain now.
Deacon.
Dennis Hopper. We got Dennis Hopper here. The Deacon. He's our main villain. This guy is a legend in screen and he's directed a bunch of stuff. He's acted in stuff. We loved him in Speed. One of our favorites here on the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm going to let you go first. Alex, what did you think of The Deacon?
Man. I'm going to be honest, Nate and Harrison.
Uh-oh.
You talking about Kevin Costner's bad acting. I mean, Kevin Costner can run suckers on this guy. I did not like Dennis Hopper in this movie. I think he sounded like more like King Koopa from the Super Mario Brothers.
Right. He played.
I'm not going to lie.
He did.
I felt like it was the same character and his line delivery was really bad. But again, that's acting wise or whatever. But in terms of the character, I did like him because he reminded me of Escape from New York, Duke Number One. Remember Duke Number One?
Yeah.
It reminded me of Isaac Hayes' character. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, this is a really interesting character because again, I keep thinking, man, if they reboot this, this would be a really good character for someone that knows how to act to bring to life. But Dennis Hopper's version of him is just so cornball, like very 80s cornball villain, like if you look at it. But I do like the man. Like, I loved all the boats with all these guys. I love the skis. Like, I mean, if they utilize it more, I love the dude with the big machine gun. And he's like, he's shooting everywhere. Yeah. And they're like, stop. And he shoots at them. And he loses an eye. And, you know, they had that corny line.
That
he's
like,
I can see you. Or some corny, corny line that he said. Like, but at the end, you know, it's really, was he really the villain? Because all he was looking for is land like everybody else. He does kidnap a girl that had the map to land.
They also are going to all those atolls and like blowing everyone away and killing
them. Yeah.
Them, so.
So, yeah, I mean, I get what you mean. I get what you're saying. But like, in terms of like towards the end, it, you know, he gives that speech. Like, you know, I'm going to take you to land. But I'm like, you know, that's everybody like try to find land. But in terms of this, you need to have the main villain. And yes, he was. And I love the scene. I know it's not action, but I love the scene that they have. He killed everyone and they were puppets and they're waving. And he's there with the Miraculous. I think that was I loved it. I was like, this is corny and crazy. But I was like, this is really, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. Now, what do I rate him? He does not fight Kevin Costner at all. They don't even come toe to toe in this movie. He's on top of the rig, the oil rig. That is pretty much it. You're going to get interaction with him in terms of character. And I don't remember them fighting. Like, they don't even come close. Only on the boat when they torched it, when he was like, tell me where the girl is. But other than that, there was no fight amongst them because it's a group of people. So that came into factor in my score. But with everybody, with the boats and everything, I'm going to give the same score when we did the Mad Max. I'm going to give it a 3. I thought it was good because I personally believe if there's a newer version, that character would be way better. And everything would be like George Miller would do this. I think he would do a great job with Waterworld. But with that said, I gave it a 3.
All right, Harrison, what do you got here?
Okay. I actually also have a 3. The reason is I actually really liked Dennis Hopper as this character. I loved how over the top and crazy he was. But the reason why it's a 3 is I think he's underutilized. Because he's in, like, what, 2-3 scenes, if that. He doesn't really interact with the hero, like you were saying, Alex. And really, what were his motives, like, other than just finding land, right? It's like, okay, that's what everybody else is doing. There's just nothing about him that has, like, any real tension with our hero, really, other than just the map, right? But I don't know. I wanted more of him. I wanted less time on the stupid dinghy in the water and all that with, oh, we're getting along and all that. I hated that with Kevin Costner and the two girls. I was like, no, I want more Dennis Hopper.
I hate these people getting along. Stop it.
Exactly.
Stop human interactions.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just thought there's too much of that and not enough of the villain to where he feels like he has a presence in the story. He feels very secondary to it. So
fair enough. Okay. 3-3. Okay. I'm going to be the high man here. I gave him a 4. I liked him. Now I will say this would have been a 5 because if Dennis Hopper really chewed the scenery, like I know he can, because he was in Speed the year before this, I think it was the year before this, or the same year. One of them. I don't remember right now, but yeah. I know he was in Speed around this time and he was in like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which I hate, but he's so over the top in that movie. I feel like he could have went bigger. To Alex's point, sometimes he played it too like low. You know what I mean? The energy. However, great lines. Definitely bad. First of all, not only is he just trying to find land, but he's controlling all those people on that boat, right? He's feeding them the fake spam that's called like Smeet or whatever.
Yeah, Smeet.
And he's basically like their king because he feeds them and they do all the work. He doesn't do nothing. They row it. Get down there and row. Like they're pretty much slaves. And he's giving them this dream of we're going to find the land and he's going to be in charge. So he's definitely a villain. Plus, he's willing to kill all those people to find the little girl with the tattoo on her back. So, yeah, I liked him. I could have loved him, though. I honestly could have loved him, but I didn't. So I gave him a 4. I thought he was a lot of fun, but it could have been more fun, honestly. And I wish there was like a their main interaction is when Kevin Costner walks up on the boat. He's like, who's that? And he takes off his goggles and she's like, it's him. And then the guy, like they have a little exchange. That part where he's like, she's my friend, whatever. That's about it. Other than that, they don't really do much. And, with each other, I should say. So it's more like he has an ultimate goal and the Mariner guy keeps kind of getting in the way of it. It's not so much a, I hate you, you hate me.
Right, right.
They're just ships passing by, if anything else, and they happen to bump into each other.
Right.
So, but anyway, I liked him. I gave him a 4. And I agree with what you guys said. All right, here we are. Meat and potatoes, action scenes for Waterworld. Harrison, what did you think?
Oh, I love the action in this movie. It was so great. I love the explosions on the water. I love the, I don't know how they had machine guns in this time, but somehow they had machine guns just shooting each other. It was awesome. Especially the giant set piece. They were like blowing it up, shooting at it, all that. It was so cool. I gave it a 4 because it was really, really awesome. And probably the highlight of the movie for me because everything else was kind of substandard. But the action, I was like, this is great. And that's why I think that Waterworld show in Hollywood is so great is because they based it a lot from this movie. So
and a lot of stuff. Like, this is pre big time CGI. So you got like, a lot of people.
It's all real people
flying around everywhere, crashing into stuff. So I'm a sucker for that as well. All right, four for Harrison. Alex, what did you think?
All right. So, you know, it's funny. It has plenty of action scenes. Like, plenty. But is it memorable? To me, I think it is. I gave it a 5.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was really into this movie. Back then, I wouldn't. I was like, oh, no. I really was digging the movie. And I loved it because it reminded me of 80s cheesy action. But this is very 90s, very late 89 into the 90s action scenes. Like, into that time period. And I liked it. I had fun with it. I'm not going to lie. I agree with Harrison. Them blowing up the damn thing in the beginning with him in the cage, I loved it. I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, just like a medieval times thing. They're trying to get over this wall. And they do, because it's just like a little slat of metal. And he's just shooting 50 calibers or whatever into it. Like, I thought that was pretty cool. I love this scene. Now, let me just tell you something. My boy Kevin Costner got the go-go gadget boat. Because this dude's boat has everything. Like, he's like, we got to get out of here. He takes his foot. He does all this. And all of a sudden, this thing turns into like a big sail. And he's just catchy
like
wind.
Like a transformer.
Yeah.
The sail comes out.
It is a transformer. Yes.
Yeah. He has everything in this freaking boat. He's like, oh my God. When they go to this thing, and he's like, interesting. And he runs down and he takes a damn telep thing and goes under the water to see if they're underwater.
Oh, yeah, the periscope.
And I'm like, yeah, periscope. This thing has a periscope. It has this like state-of-the-art wind energy thing to has a filter to pee for water.
Trampoline nets.
He has trampoline.
Whoop.
Dude,
up.
Let me just tell you something. It's one of the best sailboats I think I've ever seen in the movie. I think it's really cool. And I gave it kudos too, because that boat would stand bullet shots everywhere. It's made out of metal, so it was just bouncing off the damn thing. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I love the chases with the boat. I mean, I know me and they always talk and make fun of like underwater fighting and water scenes don't look as good, but I'm not gonna lie, it worked in this movie in terms of above the water, not underwater, because they didn't do underwater fighting in this one. They did above the water, and I think it's up there with the World Is Not Enough boat chase. Now, that one is the best boat chase scene I think I've seen in the movie so far. But this one at Waterworld is going to be number 2 for me, because there was a lot of cool scenes with it. You had dudes in a sail versus dudes with gas. So I thought it was really cool. So I gave it a 5. I thought it had perfect amount.
All right. Now, if you've listened to this show before in the past, you know, this month should be rough for me, because I absolutely hate water action. I'm not a fan. That's why I picked it. You know, we got to expand our horizons here. I mostly hate underwater stuff. Yeah. People are moving so slow. You know, you can't move fast under. You're like punching. Like, we watch some James Bond movies. He's punching. I'm like, come on. That wouldn't hurt at all. You can't get punched underwater really hard. Anyway, all that to say, this movie, I gave a 5. I gave a 5. Let me tell you something. That first set piece on the atoll that you guys have talked about, where they blow it up and all that, it's like 15 minutes long, okay? I'm a sucker for a long set piece, like a big, it felt like a big adventure movie, Indiana Jones on water, people swinging from ropes and jumping jet skis off of ramps and flying them in the air. And there's a big machine gun shooting literally real explosions, no CGI explosions here. Not at that part, at least. Real explosions. I see why it costs so much, first of all. Because that's hard to film, all that kind of stuff. You got Kevin Costner. Now, the one underwater part here, and I liked it because it's short. He pulls that guy under. He tries to stab him. Kevin Costner takes it. Stabs him. Okay, you could stab somebody underwater. That I believe. But like he doesn't punch him. He just stabs him. I like that. I love the thing with the where he does the grappling hook, and then like they're pulling the ship, and he just keeps shooting that dumb guy's like, and he starts shooting his own guys, and he's killing them, and then he blows up the own boat. Like, I loved all that. Right at that moment, I was like, this is a 5. Let's see if they do anything to ruin it. Let's see if they freaking go underwater and do some BS. And luckily, they never do. I mean, they go underwater, but not for action, right? Like, he goes to show her where he got the dirt and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the city,
which is Colorado, which is hilarious. And then I love the plane scene, which, by the way, that was Jack Black flying the plane. I don't know if anyone else noticed it.
Oh,
Jack Black plays the pilot of that plane when they're flying, and it gets like...
I did not even know that.
It's Jack Black. It is.
I have to rewatch it now.
Minecraft double feature, Jack Black, Waterworld and Minecraft. Anyway, I love that scene. I love the way it's shot, wide shot. Like Kevin Reynolds did his thing with the direction in this movie. I'm going to be honest. I thought he did a fantastic job. That scene's fun. Blaine going around is getting wrapped up in the thing and he's got to climb. So this is a movie of set pieces. It's like three big set pieces. That's most of the action. And I think they're all fantastic. I love the last one with the boat too, like the big ship. Oh, they're going, they're rowing and the jet skis are back and all that. Loved it. I did have a lot of questions like how the hell are they, where are they getting gas? They have oil on this ship, but I still don't know how that is just gasoline. Like it's just oil. So but the less questions you ask, the better you'll enjoy the movie. I gave it a 5 though. I thought it was standout. Honestly, I was like, if I saw this in the theater when in the 90s, I would have been like, this is incredible. This is awesome. These people are blowing up and I love it. So there you go. 4-4, 4-5-5. Storyline. I can't wait to hear from Harrison on this, but we'll go to Alex first.
No,
Alex,
let him go first. Think of the story his first time here? Watching it.
No, I want to wait for him to go right in the middle. Alex, what'd you think of the storyline?
All right. I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun 90s storyline. I think that's what it, to me, and it reminded, like I said, it reminded me of Mad Max on water, and I liked it. Now, I remember an interview where Kevin Costner talked about that he asked Steven Spielberg for help because he filmed Jaws, and they filmed on water. And Steven Spielberg was like, bad idea. Because he said, don't do it because the cameras are going to get destroyed. And I remember Kevin Costner said they lost tons of scenes because of the water getting into the machine, into the cameras and all that. And he was just like, he was right. It was like one of the worst, you know, in terms of, so I was like, wow. But I think it looks great, like in terms of all the footage they got. But anyway, storyline. I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the ice cap, you know, the whole story about the ice cap, you know, overflowing everybody. And I did like, I mean, it did kind of look corny. It still didn't look as good, but them going underwater to see the city, I thought that was kind of far-fetched for me because I was just like, she's in a bubble. And I was just like, how did he get all those air tanks? But like you said, the more you start acting, you're going to be like, oh, this is not even possible. But right. I did like it because it took us audience in a journey to see where, and he got a lot of dirt, and then you can see why, because he went in and grabbed all that and put it in a jar. So pretty much he, because of his mutation.
His gills.
Yeah, he could just breathe under there. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, the bad guy, situation with the bad guy, I wish there was more of a connection with the hero than him just passing by and just picking a fight for no reason. So I did like the scene in the beginning, though, where he said, you could take this girl. She could be your slave or whatever. He's like, nah, I'm good. And then they were like, he could be a spy for the smokers. I was just like, oh, my God, this is so wrong. And then there was a spy for the smokers because he's the guy that was drinking the water. And he said, no, I'm not buying, you know. And it's funny because I would be the type of person to be like, yeah, I ain't paying for your shit. Like, get your own water. Yeah. Like, don't even. Yeah, I like the smokers. I in terms of the lady and the child, did you really need them? I kind of see you didn't need it. Like, yeah, I agree. You didn't need it. You could have just had a map and he just came across a map underwater and whatever. But I understand they need to do the humanized, you know, him falling in love or whatever, having friends again. I would have gave this a 2. But this 2025 version of me, I'm going to give it a 4. I had a great time with this movie and I thought it was great. And it's weird because everyone gives this movie crap. Like, oh, this is a piece of crap. But I'm like, this is a weird episode. This is one weird episode. But I gave it a 4. I had a great time and I thought the storyline stood up and I thought it was fun.
All right, Harrison, first time watch. Big time failure.
Uh-oh.
I've already heard some things in your tone. What did you think of the storyline here?
I absolutely hated this story. I'm sorry. There were so many things that just fell through for me and took me out of it. Just a big example I'm thinking of right now, or Kevin Costner says, here on our water world. It's like, that. Are you kidding? Do they really call it the water world? That is a stupid, stupid thing. They don't call it some, I don't know, like Pandora.
It's called Earth anymore?
It's, right. Yeah.
You never like, do that here on water world.
Yeah. I was like, are you for real? So that took me out of it. But honestly, the biggest issue I had was I hated the scenes with the two girls on the boat with him.
Helen and was it Enola?
Enola, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that could have been trimmed out, did not add anything at all to the story, but there wasn't really much of a story. I mean, I wish there was more world building and more setting up what the water world was like, because we're just thrown into it. You know, like, oh, we don't like mutants, right? Okay, but then that's never really brought up again. Like, there's just little stuff like that they bring up, but never follow through with it. And that was driving me crazy. I was like, oh, maybe we're going to find other mutants. I was like, is this going to be like a commentary like the X-Men movies? Mm-hmm. No. It's just
the only one.
Who's the only one?
Yeah, he's the only one. They hate mutants, but there's only one of them.
So right.
I guess.
So it's like, so where are all the other ones? Or like maybe they go wiped out. Who knows? Yeah, yeah.
That thing was a mutant that he blows up.
Yeah. No, I did not like this story. I was not intrigued by it. It was not good. I never want to see this movie again.
What was wow. Score?
Oh, what's a score? Two.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. I had a lot of questions when I was watching this movie. It definitely asked a lot of me to just sort of like not, because the gasoline, how the heck do they have gasoline? How are they flying planes? They ain't got no gasoline.
Bullets.
Yeah, they got bullets. At least I could understand maybe they salvage bullets from that big ship. But even then, like, yeah. Okay, even if they had an armory, cool. But like just anything, all the gas powered things, like I don't understand how that worked. And then they have oil, which I guess is what we're supposed to say. I think they tried. They're like, look, there's oil in this thing. Maybe that's how they got it. But then the big ship, what, that one doesn't work. They have to row it like a rowboat, like a slave ship back in the day with the sticks.
Well, it has holes though.
I know, but why can't, what happened to the power on that? Why doesn't it just, they just use the oil that's in there to make it drive? I don't know. That's number one. Number two, they never say what year this movie is set in.
No.
And the wiki page does say 2500. So this is like 500 years in the future. But I wish they said that just so I could know. Okay, this is way in the future. Why are there mutants? How did they happen? I agree with Harrison in that I wished there was more explanation for stuff. The problem when you could do it well. The problem with stuff like that is sometimes you get these exposition dumps, and I don't like those right. either. So right. It's like you got to kind of pick, all right, look, we're just going to drop them in and give them bits and pieces, and they could put it together. But I don't think this movie did a great job with the bits and pieces either. So I just had a lot of questions. However, on the other hand, I do think the story is mostly simple enough to follow. You know what I mean? Like I appreciate that they didn't try to do too much, because then it's a worse movie. And Alex, you mentioned the longer cut. I read about it. Apparently there is a lot of more character stuff in that version that fleshes them out. It's called the Ulysses cut because apparently that's what she ends up naming him, because he doesn't have a name. So Ulysses ends up being Kevin Costner's character's name.
Mm.
And there was something else that is explained in that cut. So maybe it might be better. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it one day. I gave it a 3. I'm actually in the middle of YouTube. I thought it's not Mad Max, but Mad Max had some of those same things. We're like, there's stuff that's not really explained that much. You just, you're thrown in there.
Right.
But that kept it simple. It was a revenge story. They killed his wife and kid. He's going to go after them. They're a gang. This has a lot of similarity. This was more Beyond Thunderdome than it was like the first Mad Max. You know what I mean? But I enjoyed the world, to Harrison's point. Like I was intrigued by the world they set up. I just wish there was a little more explanation here and there. But overall, I thought it was fine. I'm right in the middle. I gave it a 3. All right. What is your overall score for the film as a whole, Harrison?
2. Okay.
All right. That's fair.
I don't know. Maybe if I saw the extended cut, maybe it'll be better. Or maybe it just adds on to what I don't like about it. I don't know.
Maybe it just makes you suffer longer.
Right. But no, I think this needed more rewrites, more development before they made it. It feels pretty underbaked to me. I think there's more they could have done to make it a better product, better film. So, you know.
All right. 2 for Harrison. Alex, what do you got?
I think this is a good film. I gave it a 3. I enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to check out the 40 minutes because I have a feeling that's going to have what I was missing with the film. I mean, I do agree with Harrison. Some of the things were kind of, you know, with the Helen and the Enola. Like that stuff was just a little too dragged on and long. But I thought some of the stuff was kind of funny when he was like, just don't touch my boat. Like no one told you to be here. Like, but yeah, I like some of the stuff and I enjoy even the other scene with the other traitor that he just wanted to bang the girl. He was just like, no, like, he goes, I changed my mind. All for a piece of paper. So you could see how like the human, how humans changed, you know, like in terms of mindset. So, and still the same. Like he just wanted to bang the chick. Like he's like 30 minutes for a piece of paper. And then Kevin Costner's like, oh, hell no. And then they fought. So I liked that scene a lot. I thought that was pretty cool. But other than that, yeah, it was all over a girl with a tattoo on the back, which again, I wish there was more to that. I wish the movie started off with Enola in that island as a baby and then figured out how did she get to
how the heck Helen. Did she get out of there?
Yeah, right, because she was like, oh, I'm home. But I'm like,
those are her dead parents in that bed with all the drawings, with all the, how did she get to all the way over there?
Yeah, I'm thinking like maybe someone took her, or by mistake she went on a boat and then drifted away playing around. But again, anything can happen. I'm just saying is like, I wish they showed that and then I would have been happy with it. But anyway, I give it a 3. I thought it was good.
Something else that's crazy. He gets the dirt from Denver, what's like Denver, Colorado or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That mountain at the end is, and this might be something that's in the Ulysses Cut as well that I read, it's revealed to be Mount Everest, which is in Asia, as far as I know, right? How the heck did they get? I mean, what is the time span of like, they get from America on the water all the way to Asia in like 3 days? I don't know, whatever.
Well, they flew. They were on the water.
They flew in a blimp. That would even take even longer. I mean, that's like a long, blimp. It's fine.
I mean, with the wind pushing it, so it'd be faster.
The other guy made it. He was not in the blimp.
What other guy?
The guy with the beard.
Yeah, he was.
He was
all on the boat. Remember, they were all like dehydrated.
No, but remember when they crash on the blimp and they climb up, he's already like way up. He's like, hey, I found something. He was already there. How the heck did he get there?
I don't know.
On a boat. It took whatever. See, that's why you can't think too much about certain things. Then
you're bringing it up, man. I'm like, lower 3.
I like the movie. I gave it a 3 as well. Mm. I'm torn because I don't think it's a great film. I could see all of Harrison's problems and I don't really have an argument to be like, no, you're wrong. But I enjoyed it. When I was watching it, like, I liked it. I thought it was entertaining. I forgot to say at the top, I forgot to give the Rotten Tomato scores. This has a almost identical for the critics and audiences. A 45 for the critics, a 44 for the audience. Yeah. Under 50, but they're almost equal. I think it's one of those movies that upon reevaluating, I do not think it's as bad as what it's made out to be. I'm just being honest. Like, people being like, this is the biggest, worst movie of all. I don't think so. We've reviewed far worse movies on this channel a lot of times than Waterworld. Also, you know what? One thing I love, and this is just kind of a personal thing, I love at the beginning when it has the Universal logo and then they use the logo to like show the world, like it zooms in on the Earth. Anytime a movie takes the logo and then like integrates it into the opening of a movie, I always love. So shout out to them for doing that.
That was pretty cool.
This had a great soundtrack.
This had a great one. Yeah. A really solid 90s adventure film. Is it perfect? Heck no. Is it flawed? Heck yes. But is it enjoyable? Yes, I think so. I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. I like the action scenes. I like the score. I think the production is actually very good. I don't think it's like, it's well directed. Is it well written? Different story, but I don't think it's a horrible movie. So I enjoyed it as well. I gave it a 3. All right, what are your total points, Harrison?
13.
13.
It's like a 52%.
Yes, Alex, what do you got?
I gave it an 18 out of a 25.
I also have an 18 out of a 25. So we have the same score. Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, not that bad, to be honest, for me, at least. Harrison didn't like it. He don't want to watch it again. He'll stick with the show at Universal Studios Hollywood. That's enough. Mm. It's only like 20 minutes long. It's the better version. Yep. Nice and tight. Okay, here's what we got coming up on the next 2 episodes. We will be continuing on with the G.I. Joe franchise with G.I. Joe Retaliation. That's the name of it. That's the second in the G.I. Joe movies. And then the next water action movie we're going to be doing, we're going to visit our man Peter Berg out on the high sea for a little Battleship based on the classic board game Battleship. So we're going to see how that goes. I saw this at the theater and never again.
I never saw it.
Okay. A first time watch and a one time watch. So we're going to see how that turns out. But that's what we got coming up on the podcast next 2 episodes.
Battleship and then G.I. Joe 2. Interesting week. Interesting week. All right, guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episodes. You can also take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. And then, of course, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under Geeks, the Letter, and Flicks. And Harrison, thank you so much for joining us on this episode, Ben.
No, thanks for having me, guys. This is a blast.
Yeah, it was really fun. Very interesting on your take on that one.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm your host, Ash Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.